So in my other life, we have a acronym, NALS. It's neonatal, what is, I don't even know what it stands for anymore. Neonatal artificial life support, something like that. Here, I think it should stand for not another love sermon. But this is a story of love. Now, our story begins on the night before Jesus died. He was sitting at table with his friends. He's washed their feet. Judas has just left the room, knowing that his time with them is growing really short. He says to the remaining disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." He doesn't give them a gentle encouragement or a polite suggestion. He gives them a commandment, a new commandment. And it's not that love itself was new. The law had always said, love your neighbor. This was different. This was deeper. It wasn't love as much as you can. It wasn't love if they deserve it, but love as I have loved you. That's the new measure Jesus gives them, and that's what makes it holy. That's also what makes it hard. Because Jesus' love, it's not shallow, and it's not sentimental. This is radical, sacrificial love. A love that kneels. It weeps, it serves, and it forgives, even from a cross. Jesus calls us to become a community that is so shaped by this love that others know by seeing it that we belong to him. And this is the truest mark of the church. When we care for the sick, when we forgive those who hurt us, when we listen instead of arguing, when we stand with the marginalized, welcome the stranger, and serve without applause, we show the world who Jesus is. How did this commandment sit with this brand new church? Well, Peter was about to find out. He was in trouble with the church in Jerusalem, not because he preached the gospel, but because he preached it to the wrong people, to Gentiles, outsiders, the unclean. What did he do? He ate with them. He baptized them. He welcomed them in. And when they challenged him in Jerusalem, he told them, "Okay, here's what happened. I had this vision. Sheet came down from heaven. All these animals, clean and unclean, were on this sheet. Somebody said, kill and eat it. And then this voice said to me, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And this happened 3 times. And then when I spoke to these people, the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did to us." And then Peter said the most honest thing he could. "Who was I to hinder God?" That moment changed the church forever. When Jesus' command to love took root, the walls came down. The table got bigger. And love, real love, radical love, got messier and more beautiful. Jesus said, "Love one another just as I have loved you." Now, I know some of you like to skip to the end of the story to see if you want to read the rest of it. So, the passage in Revelation reveals a glimpse of what's to come. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them." This isn't escapism. It's not some far-off pipe dream. This is not a disembodied heaven. This is a fulfillment of love's promise. God with us, dwelling with us, soothing every hurt, relieving every pain, wiping away every tear. God healing the world. And this is where the love of Jesus leads, not just to personal salvation, but to a world made new. And the voice from the throne says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." That's a pretty good ending. So how does the rest of the story go? We live in a world, you know what I'm going to say, is deeply fractured. People don't just disagree anymore. They despise. Political divisions have hardened into identities. Public life is often defined not by cooperation, but contempt. We're living in what many are calling an age of ultra-partisanship, where winning matters more than wisdom. Power matters more than people. Ideology becomes idolatry, and people are no longer opponents, but enemies. Conversations quickly turn into battles. Mistrust has replaced dialogue. Even families struggle to speak across divisions. Every day we're tempted or pushed to choose a side, to hold tight to what is familiar, and to love only those who agree with us. And into the darkness of this world, Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Into this world, the Spirit says, "Do not call unclean what God has made clean." Into this world, the voice of heaven says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." We're not called to stand idly by and wait and watch and hope for the arrival of God's future. We're called to put our trust in that future by participating fully in God's present. Not by being louder or righter or better, but by being more loving. Imagine what that church would be. Not as a place where everyone agrees, but as a place where love is stronger than agreement. A community where people of different views and different histories and different hopes can still break bread together. Where political identity doesn't replace baptismal identity. Where the love of Jesus, not our ideologies, is what binds us together. A church where no one is called unclean. It doesn't ask whether you deserve to be here, but asks, "Who are we to hinder God?" The world isn't hungry for more argument. There's enough. It's hungry for mercy. It's hungry for witness, and it is starving for love. And Jesus says, "By this they will know you are mine, if you love. Not if you agree, not if you're right, but if you love." So what do? How do we embody our trust in God's present with an eye to God's future? We are the middle of love's story. We start small. Speak gently. Forgive freely and love boldly. Because the commandment to love isn't about feelings. It's about faithfulness. Because when we love, we join this great movement of God from the upper room to the house of Cornelius to the new Jerusalem. The movement that says again and again, love one another, do not hinder God. And behold, I'm making all things new. May we have the courage to follow that love and live into this story, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it stretches us and challenges our assumptions, even when it leads us into rooms we never thought we'd enter. Because in a world that is actively tearing itself apart, what a powerful witness it would be if the church became known not for what we stand against, but for how deeply and visibly we love. And that love, more than anything else, will show the world who and whose we are. Amen.